for a lot of people out there who might have like an entrepreneurship bug, that first step of saying, I should do this, to actually taking the first step into doing something is the most intimidating part of the whole journey.
This is Debbie, and welcome to another episode of The Offbeat Life, where I speak to inspiring individuals who ditched the norm to become location independent. We'll learn how to create sustainable laptop lifestyles from the experts that will help us achieve freedom from our 9-to-5. Hey friend, are you looking to land a remote gig ASAP? Well, did you know that we not only have a ton of online jobs you can apply to on our site, but now we are also sending them straight to your inbox. I'm happy to announce that we will be sending our email subscribers legit online jobs every Wednesday. We have done hours of research, so you don't have to. If you want to be the first one to hear about the remote gigs we find, go to theoffbeatlife.com to subscribe. In this episode, I'm so excited to speak with Sarah, who's the founder of The Dirt, which is the most comprehensive camping resource with over 9 million user-generated reviews, photos, and tips for every RV site, cabin, glamping, and tent camping location in the U.S. Sarah has also been recognized by Inc. magazine on their 2022 Female Founders 100 list of the top women entrepreneurs. So listen on to find out how Sarah has been able to create a dedicated outdoor lovers community. Hey everyone, thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited to speak with my guest today. I'm here with Sarah. Hi Sarah, how are you?
Hi Debbie, I'm good. Thanks for having me on today.
Thank you so much for being here. Can you tell us a little bit more about you and why you live an offbeat life?
Yeah, well, my name is Sarah, and I'm the founder of a camping app and website called The Dirt, which enables people to find the best camping all throughout the country. And through that, there are some great ways that you can live an offbeat life while you're actually out camping. And you don't have to be tied down necessarily to a certain location as long as you have that flexibility in your work life.
It's such a great concept, and I love this app that you have because my husband and I are avid campers, and I'm like, well, this is such a great app to have, and it can be really difficult to find places to camp that's safe, that's nice. It has all, you know, certain amenities that you have, especially for digital nomads, because I've gone to campsites before where they didn't have internet or it was really hard to get. So yeah. I'm like, yes, we need that accessibility, especially if you're trying to be in nature and also work at the same time.
Totally. And you know, what you just described, that's kind of originally why my husband and I founded this company 10 years ago. It was because we loved to camp and we were so frustrated with the experience of trying to figure out where to go camping beforehand. There were at that time, you know, just some government websites, and it just didn't give you a really good feel for what the camping was going to be like once you got there. And 10 years ago, we weren't working at campsites like we are now, but we still wanted to really have a better idea what the camping was going to be like for other reasons. So, you know, fast forward 10 years and we now have this top-ranked camping app, 10 million reviews and photos of over 50,000 campgrounds all throughout the U.S. And this really engaged community who will tell you, oh, this campground is great. And they'll write it in their review and, you know, let us know that they have great Wi-Fi, you know. So really excited that we were able to build this community that can help other campers get out there and camp more, whether it's for recreation or work or a little bit of both.
And that's really incredible that you were able to do that. Now, how did you get from seeing this issue for yourself personally, you and your husband saw this, to making this into a business? Because for a lot of people, that would have just been a headache that they were dealing with. And they're like, oh, well, I guess it is what it is. What made this so important for you guys to actually make a business and like millions of, you know, reviews to this incredible app that you have?
Yeah, that is the hardest thing for people to do. I think so many people out there have good ideas and they're like, you know, I think someday I should do this or I should do that. And I'm like, and that was me. I'm like, why doesn't someone build an app for camping, like Yelp or TripAdvisor for camping? Why doesn't that exist? And I just kept saying it over and over and over. And, you know, I've always been kind of a risk taker in my life. So it wasn't a huge leap for me to be like, well, let's try it. Let's just go do it and see what we can do. So, you know, it's not like we had money to do all this or invest in any of this. So we did a really simple beta site on a WordPress site platform that only cost not very much money. So we could test the concept, and we would also go to campgrounds and we would interview people. So we did very low cost, kind of minimal viable product testing to make sure that this was something that other people saw as an issue and wanted to solve. And then once we got to that point, we started to like raise money from investors so that we could begin building a team and hire people. But I do think for a lot of people out there who might have like an entrepreneurship bug, that first step of saying, you know, I should do this, to actually taking the first step into doing something is the most intimidating part of the whole journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so crazy how all of these things can lead to something more for you. And you've been doing this for over 10 years now. Did you have any experience in creating and building a website, even creating apps? I mean, this is a huge undertaking.
Yeah. No, I had absolutely no experience. I actually worked in international education for 20 years before this. So worked with study abroad programs, lived overseas for 10 years. So in that way, I'm kind of, like I said, a risk taker. I'm willing to like just throw myself into, you know, I lived in a fishing village in Japan for 3 years. And when I arrived, I knew no Japanese. So I'm like, I'm willing to put myself in scenarios where I don't have all the answers and I have to figure things out. So in that way, doing a startup, doing the dirt wasn't that that much of a stretch. And you learn what you need to along the way, and you surround yourself with other people who are doing things like this. And then you hire people who know the tech part of the things that you don't know. So that's kind of how it worked.
So for somebody like you, Sarah, who's definitely a risk taker, where, you know, not many things phases you, what was the hardest part of this journey for you? What was something that maybe made you almost give up in this journey?
That's such a great question. Well, I am doing this with my husband. So I founded it originally, and then a couple years in, he quit his job to join me full time. And, you know, you can imagine a married couple. I'm sure you meet many of them who you build a business together. It can be really challenging, but we actually have found that we work really well together because we have such different skill sets. Mm-hmm. But we did do in 2021, we spent 6 months we have a 19 foot camper van, like a, you know, a small sprinter van. We spent 6 months living and working out of that van. And that could have broken a lot of people, but we loved it. It was such an adventure to get out there and see the country in our van.
Well, they say throughout the pandemic, if you're in a relationship with somebody, it's either gonna, you know, make you or break you, because you're either gonna get a divorce, breakup, or it's made your relationship stronger.
So imagine that same thing, but in a 19-foot van and working full time.
Well, that's fun. Well, you know, I'm glad that it straightened your marriage in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah. But honestly, I think the hardest part was the beginning, where, you know, I'm sure you've heard people talk about the imposter syndrome before, but like people would be like, what are you doing? You're building an app for camp. They're like, what do you know about building apps? What do you know about camping other than you love to do it? You know, and I got that a lot in the beginning, and it's just like, I don't know, but I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to hire people who can help. So getting over that imposter syndrome, I think, is something that almost all of us face at some point if we're doing something like this. And you have to just, you just have to move on from that because it's so common.
And you're always going to get people who are, you know, the naysayers, and they're not going to believe you. So in a lot of ways, you know, it doesn't really matter until you take action and things are starting to happen, because it's great for, and I think in a lot of ways it's true, because there's a lot of people that say they're going to do something, but there's only a small amount of people that actually get things done or even try. Right.
Yeah.
Because there's so much fear that goes into it, but also a lot of work that goes into it as well.
Yeah. I mean, Debbie, I remember when the first ever stranger, it wasn't a family friend, wasn't a friend, family member, did a review on the dirt. And I came screaming downstairs to Kevin. I'm like, we've got a stranger. You know, we have someone we don't know who did a review on our platform that we built out of scratch. You know, and now we have like 10 million. When I go to the dirt now and I see this amazing content and this thriving community, like 10 years ago when we got that first ever review, I dreamt that it would be like this, but I never could imagine that it would be what it is now. And then the top ranked camping app, it is just amazing to me. And it's, you know, sometimes I just get goosebumps when I stop to think about this community that's been built around camping.
And you're never going to forget the first time, you know, the first review. And I love that. Like, it's a stranger. It's not somebody we know.
Yep.
So your transition to this obviously was not an easy one. So can you take us through that? Like, how did you go from making this into an idea into a full-time business for yourself? Because obviously that's a lot right there in the middle.
Yeah. Well, you get a lot of help from people along the way. And like I said, the first couple of years when I was really just proving the idea and moving pretty slowly, I did that beta site, just a simple site. And then in 2015, I got accepted into an accelerator for a startup specifically in the outdoor industry in Telluride, Colorado. So I left my husband and my doggie and went to Telluride, which wasn't too much of a hardship, for 6 months. And, you know, my husband and co-founder, he has done startups before, and he's been a part of this world in the past, but I hadn't. And we did this accelerator where there were five other startups, and we all, you know, we got mentored on how to do a pitch to investors to start raising money, learned how to make a business plan, you know. So if there's one advice I give to people who want to do something like this is find a network of people that can help you who are going through the same sort of thing. And I was really fortunate to get into this accelerator and spend 6 months being mentored by people. And then once I finished that, Kevin, that's when he quit his job and joined me. And we started raising money from investors. And we've raised about $24 million to date. At the peak during, I guess it was after around 2020, you know, we had up to, I think, 50 employees for a while, full-time employees. And now we have, I think we're at 30, which is just a great size for where we are right now. But, you know, it's one step at a time, and you're figure it out as you go. And you're like, oh, this is new. Who can I ask about how this works? And you just keep going.
Yeah. And it's incredible that you did this and it was all new to you, but you weren't afraid. You were willing to try. And I think that's the most important thing, is for you to just be willing to be open to new things and not be afraid to fail. Or, you know, sometimes it's scary and humiliating, or just, you know, there's all sorts of feels when you're trying something that you've never done before.
Yeah. And you don't know, am I doing this right? Should I be doing it differently? But I mean, all I know for sure is life is short, and I don't want to waste it, you know, I want to be doing interesting things until I'm 90 or 100, you know?
Or more. Who knows now with
Yeah, my everything. Grandma lived to be 105, so hopefully I can I can match that.
If only we're all so lucky.
Right? I know.
So going back to this, because you said you talk to a lot of investors, I'm just curious, is it like Shark Tank where you're placed in front of a few people? How does that go? Or do you kind of network and you find one?
Sometimes it can be a little Shark Tanky. I've done pitch, more like pitch competitions that have been a little more Shark Tanky, which are really, for me, petrifying. It's normally, and at this point of the stage, you know, we're currently doing a Series C round, which is, we've done a lot of investment rounds now. And so Kevin and I have it down pretty good, but at the beginning, you know, you start to network and you figure out who does, you know, at the beginning it's angel investment, which is usually people, individuals who do smaller investments, like 25,000 or 50,000. And you meet with someone and you do your pitch and they're like, love it or hate it. And if they love it, you're like, okay, well, do you know three other people you could introduce me to so I could go tell them about this? You know, so you just build this like spider web and you just got to get the first one down so you can start creating your web. And as long as you can network with other founders in whatever area you're living in, and now digitally, I'm sure there's many different communities online that you could work in. You just start to network and eventually, at some point people start asking you if they can give you money. And that's always a fun place to be in.
Be like, oh, that's nice. Thanks. Yeah. It's like, I don't have to grovel for money. Now people are coming to me because they believe in my work and your app and your business, which is, I'm sure it's an incredible feeling for you.
It is mind blowing. You know, I say it all the time. I think back to the early days. And if you would have told me we were where we are now, I would have never believed it. You know, it's super fun to meet people. When Kevin and I were on the road for 6 months, you know, we worked 6 months. We went all the way down to Key West and we would meet dirt users along the way. And it was really fun to meet strangers and have them show the excitement for the product that our community has built.
Yeah, that must feel so crazy when you meet people along the way that's like, oh my gosh, I use your app. Like, this is how I found this place.
Totally. Yeah. And now, like, you know, since the pandemic, obviously, a lot more people work remotely. And about 25% of campers worked from a campsite in both 2023 and 2022. And the number is pretty much staying the same, even though more people are going back to the office. So like working from a campsite is becoming much more common, like what Kevin and I did. And, you know, we're really proud that The Dirt has started offering more specific tools like, you know, cell service maps, so you can see where you're going to have cell service or not before you go camp there. Because that's so important if you're working remotely. So just really excited that we've been able to like provide the sorts of tools that campers need as the way we all camp changes.
Yeah, and I think that's something that is not talked about enough is like camping in terms of when you do want to start working remotely, and you want to be a digital nomad. I know a lot of people like go overseas and, you know, they want to live in different places, but also camping is also very viable, especially if you want to do like van life, that's very popular. But it's an incredible way to do it and it's more accessible and it's also a lot more affordable in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people out there doing it. You know, they are out there camping either RVing full time with families, without families. And you know, it's pretty fun to see the freedom that this can allow people. And, you know, it can be affordable. You know, if you think of the more expensive RV resorts, and we stayed in a couple, like one in Key West that was like more expensive than any hotel I've ever stayed at. But one thing we've just launched on the dirt that really will help in this situation is our free, it's a free camping collection of places you can drive in. So they're not hike-in spots, they're car accessible sites where you can camp for free. So for example, next week, Kevin and I are going down to Bend, Oregon for Thanksgiving, but we're going to leave earlier and we're going to go do dispersed camping down in Sisters, Oregon, which is this great spot. And there's this free dispersed camping area that we found on the dirt. And we are going to work there on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And I know there's good cell service. I know it's going to meet my needs as I'm working from that site. So it's really fun to be able to use my own product to do things like that.
Yeah, I know. I was just going to say that. I'm like, it's nice that you're able to use your own app to find things for yourself as well.
Yeah, it is super fun.
So now for you, because you started this company, and I know a lot of my my listeners are maybe interested in working with a company like yours, right? Maybe an app, or they're really interested in technology and want to get into it and they're just beginning. How would they be able to work with somebody like you, Sarah, or similar to your company? Because right now it's a really tough situation, especially in the tech field. Are there any information that you could give that would help them out?
For our company, and I think this is probably true for a lot of startups, when we are looking to hire people, probably the number one thing, and so this is, you know, taken into account, you've figured out where you want to apply and you've applied and you've got an interview. But having said all that, if you get to that point, like showing a willing to be flexible in the interview is like a deal breaker for me. We always do founder interviews at the end of the interview process. So knowing that someone, for example, has lived abroad or studied abroad or done something in their life that shows some flexibility and they can emphasize that in the interview has always been like a super important thing for me, because startups are hard and all of a sudden we're running full speed one direction and we're like, oh, wait, halt, we have to run full speed this direction. And so like being able to show that flexibility and having that sort of mindset, I think is really important for working in a startup in general.
Now, have you ever met somebody, whether it was an interview or just someone that you met, that you were like, oh my gosh, did they say something that once they said that you were just like, okay, I need to have this person in our team right away?
Yeah. Yeah. And it is related to that flexibility part, you know, just be. And also there has to be a sense of humor there. You know, you can't take for our company. And I think this is true for, you have to be willing to be flexible and not, and I kind of think about, this is how I kind of think about it. Since my background was study abroad, I'd be like, would I want this person, if I was leading a study abroad trip, would I want this person on the trip? Are they going to be fun? Are they going to be flexible? Are they going to be willing to like explore? You know, are they curious? Those are all things that I think are super important.
Yeah. And from what I can hear from you, Sarah, it's more like, can we get along as a team? Can we actually work with this person? Right. Oh, and there has to be some sort of a connection with that person, because if, you know, they may have all these skills, but if you can't work with them, then it's kind of just, you know, lost in a lot of ways.
It is amazing. We have the culture at our company has just never been better than it is right now. And we do something called a biweekly campfire, where every other week we get together as a staff meeting, and we're all virtual. You know, we have people who work full time in their RVs when they're wherever. But you know, we're all remote workers now. And during the campfire, we did this, we have someone different every week be the host, and the person doing the host wanted us to do a gratitude thing at the beginning. So everyone would just talk about what they're grateful for, and to hear people talk about how they're grateful for being a part of this team and doing the work we're doing, it was just so special, you know, and it's so nice when you have a team that's just like really clicking and, you know, everyone's feeling good and enjoying the work that they do and the people they're working with.
Yeah. And it also makes it really, like you mentioned, Sarah, like a really great atmosphere, and you're going to be able to enjoy and love what you do. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that's really stressed out with their jobs. And obviously that happens, right? There's going to be some stresses. But if you're surrounded by a really supportive team and a community in your workspace, then you can get through that. You know, you can get through a lot of things.
Right. Totally. Yep.
So now that you've been able to do this, and it's been 10 years on, has there been, you know, a really great lesson that you've learned throughout all of this, or maybe something that you wished you would have done sooner?
You know, I wish I would have spent less time worrying about being an imposter. You know, it's just like silly, even though we all do it, but it's just like, nobody knows. Everyone's figuring this out, and do the best you can. Execute on the plan that you set forth when you came up with this idea, you know, and don't worry so much about what people think, because everyone's going to have their opinions on what you could do differently or what you could do better. And, you know, and that's great. They can go do that. But, you know, as the one doing it, you should just, you know, keep your course going and do the best you can.
Love that. Yeah. And in a lot of ways, it's like you can't escape that in the beginning, because we all have that imposter syndrome, just not feeling like you're good enough. Or maybe, you know, you're surrounded by people who are your seniors, and you see everything that they've done already. And you're looking at your beginning and you're comparing it to like their middle or, you know, even their end. Right. Because there are some companies that are selling their work, and they've done so much already. But that's how it is. You have to start from the beginning.
You do. And there is nobody I respect more in this world than founders or like business owners or people who have started their own thing, you know, whether it's a podcast or a website or whatever it is. It takes courage to do it. And so I feel like when I meet other founders, those are kind of my kindred spirits, and yeah, it feels good.
It's like having battle scars and you talk about it.
Totally.
Love that. So let's move forward to maybe 30 or 40 years from now, Sarah, and you're looking back at your life. What legacy would you like to leave, and what do you want to be remembered for?
Oh, that's such a great question. I would like to, first of all, with the dirt, I would like it to be used all over the world. And I would like, if you are a camper in this world, you know about the dirt, and it helps you. It helps you and your family get outside. It helps you enjoy your life more. It gives you lifetime memories with your family. You know, the fact that, you know, I don't have kids. I never wanted children. My husband and I never, you know, went down that path. We have a beautiful dog, but to know that this thing that we've built together will hopefully live on beyond us and like make a difference in people's lives is just really super rewarding and special to me.
Yeah. And it is your baby. It's what you've created, you know, it's 10 years on and it's helping people. So that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for joining us today. If our listeners want to learn more about you, where can they find you?
They can go to The Dirt, which is thedyrt.com, or go to the App Store, either App Store, and just either put in The Dirt or put in Camping. We're the top-ranked camping app, so it'll come up. And you can find out all the great things that The Dirt has to offer for campers.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Sarah. We really appreciate you for being here.
Thank you, Debbie. I had a lot of fun chatting with you.
I hope you enjoyed this interview with Sarah. Make sure to visit theoffbeatlife.com. Again, that's theoffbeatlife.com to get the extended interview where she shares how camping makes digital nomadism more accessible. Hey listeners, thank you for listening to this episode, and I'm so thankful for your support. I would love to hear your thoughts on this episode and get suggestions on guests, topics we can discuss, and so much more. Feel free to reach out at hello@theoffbeatlife.com and let me know what you'd like to hear. If you like the show, don't forget to give us some love and review on iTunes. Thank you again for being a part of this journey, and I can't wait to hear how your location-independent story will unfold.